Ready? Okay. All right. Again, for the record, today is March 23rd, 2017. We are going back on the record for the Wirtz application. It's about a quarter after nine. Ms. Schaefer, do you want to go ahead and present? And your name for the record?
Catherine Schaefer.
And you swear to tell the truth
today. I do. So my name is Catherine Schaefer, and I'm a planner with the Department of Community Development, and I'm here today to present a conditional use permit to allow for an existing cabin to be converted into an accessory dwelling unit to allow for the construction of a single-family primary residence at 6344 Chico Way Northwest in Central Kitsap. Included in this application is also a shoreline variance, and I'd like to start the presentation off today by including 30 exhibits into the record, and then I'll have a few more things to add.
Okay. These are 30 new exhibits that fall. Are these the 30?
The 30 that were included in the record, and then I believe I have four more to add.
Okay. I have reviewed the ones that are already in the record. And.
Okay, great. So I would like exhibit 31 to be the PowerPoint presentation that I'm going to use today. Okay. Exhibit 32 is a comment that I got from one of the neighbors in an email.
Which, do you have a name on that? Just so I can...
Yes, Ted Smith, and he is present today.
Okay.
And then Exhibit 33 is a memo from Senior Planner Steve Heacock addressing some more shoreline variance criteria. It's a memo.
Okay.
And Exhibit 34 is a site plan that the applicant had that it was felt that it was a more inclusive site plan.
Okay.
So that is also being included.
All right. Ms. Santos, if I could actually see those this time. I don't always do that, but. Thank you. Okay, and these, I'll go ahead and admit these.
Okay, great. So this project has been properly noticed along with a SEPA appeal period in which no appeals were filed. And I'd like to give you a brief overview of the project, starting with the subject location at Chico Way Northwest, which is a county-maintained right-of-way in Central Kitsap. Zooming into the regional map, you can see that Dye's Inlet is to the east, and then to the west is Highway 3. And then a little further, there is a large wooded area surrounded by residential development. Continuing to zoom in, this is the neighborhood, and you can see that there's residential homes surrounding the subject property. In fact, the closest non-residential zone is a rural commercial area that's about a half a mile away. So it's safe to say that this subject property is tucked away in a residential area. Continuing to zoom in, this is the site aerial from our GIS data. The green arrow is pointing to the existing cabin. It's 876 square feet. And the blue arrow is pointing to the general area where the single family residence is proposed. And then we're going to switch over to the critical area map. The pink lines represent contours from our LIDAR data and GIS data. The closer the lines are together, the steeper the slopes. However, included in this application is the geotechnical engineering evaluation of slope stability. The thin blue line represents a non-fish-bearing stream. However, our data is off here because the stream literally goes under the existing cabin. So it's just a little bit off.
Oh, so it jags over under. So
yes, it's hard to describe it. It's literally under the stream. We did a site visit, and I didn't really understand it myself until I was on site. But yes, it's literally under the stream. And later on in the presentation, Steve Heacock is going to go into more detail about the stream variant, the shoreline variance that includes the stream. So this is the zoning map. The property is zoned rural residential and is surrounded by all four sides by like zoning. As you go east, you have rural residential in blue, or excuse me, west, and urban low in yellow. Or urban restricted in blue and urban low in yellow. And urban low has the same density as rural residential. And Urban Low has 5 to 9 dwelling units per acre. So the yellow development is a little bit more dense. I apologize. It doesn't look as good on my screen as it does up here, but the RR is to the west, and then the UR and UL are to the east. Okay. So here is the site plan. The green circle represents the existing cabin, and the blue circle represents the proposed single family residence. Though this property is zoned rural residential, it's under 1 acre, so it's able to use urban setbacks per Kitsap County Code 17.382.100, footnote 4A. So the urban restrictive setbacks are 20 feet from the front and 5 from the side. And in this case, the rear is governed by shoreline. And Steve will talk more about the shoreline buffer governing the rear. But through the variance, all the setbacks are made. And there are no other ADUs, mobile homes, recreational vehicles, ALQs, guest houses present or proposed. And the owner currently lives in the existing cabin and has plans to occupy the single family residence. And the existing cabin to become the ADU is approximately 30 feet from the proposed single family residence, meeting the requirement of the mandate that it be within 150 feet. And here's the floor plan for the proposed single family residence. It has a habitable area of 1,776 square feet. 1,616 of them are on the main floor, and then there's one bedroom downstairs. So our code says that an ADU is limited to either 50% of the habitable area of the single-family residence or 900 square feet, whatever is more restrictive. So this is the cabin being proposed for the ADU is 876 square feet. So it meets that 50% requirement. And it was pointed out to me earlier that there might have been an error in the staff report with that math, but it does meet the 50% ratio. And here are the elevations for the ADU. And this permit is conditioned that the ADU and the single family residence have a similar appearance. And the application does indicate that it'll be a same color scheme and decks and rails to be matching, and the permit is conditioned that way. And here's another shot of the existing cabin just to give you a little bit better perspective. And sometimes it's hard to decipher how they're going to be similar. So at this point, I would like to turn it over to Steve Heacock, and he's going to address the shoreline variance as well as the variance criteria for you.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Ms. Shaffer.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you state your name for the record?
Yes, my name is Steve Heacock. I'm a senior planner with the Department of Community Development.
And you swear to tell the
and
truth.
And I do, indeed. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well, Ms. Wirtz has applied for a shoreline variance for this particular application, a rather unusual application. We have an existing accessory dwelling unit that, for principal purposes, is a small-size residence that's been on this property since the early 70s. And so, as it was built over this seasonal stream, we consider the feature to be an existing but non-conforming use. So in environmental jargon, if you will, that would be a facility that, you know, if they apply for a building permit to create this structure, it would not be something that would be approved other than through a variance procedure. So in this particular case, we analyzed the ask for the single family residence, as this really isn't of a size that would be adequate for anyone really to live in other than through through a rental type of situation or something like that, that we'd have a reasonable expectation for using the property for a principal residence that would be of a size that someone could comfortably live in, have a garage, have those pertinent features that that everyone else is afforded. And in fact, Ms. Wirtz had put together what I felt was a very good presentation for the variance criteria, which we had analyzed and approved. And what I'd like to do is just read into the record the actual ask in this case in relation to the shoreline variance. The staff report that we had created here last Thursday had a second here. Tripping over me here. The staff report that we had created had pointed to the variance criteria, and of course staff has pored over that variance criteria very, very thoroughly. And I'd like to also point out that we've also had several other agencies involved in this particular permit that I feel is really quite pertinent to what we came up with this plan, because originally the residence was going to be much much larger. And I'm not sure if we have a representation of that or not, but if you take a look at the blue circle area for the new proposed residence, the outer portion, outer what would be called the western portion of the circle itself, and I'll see if I can get this mouse to work here. Come on, there we go. Okay, so the original ask was that we were, Ms. Wirtz was going to have a structure going quite a bit further out, obviously away from the shoreline buffer, but still it was of a size that the other reviewers relating to this permit had felt it wasn't the minimum necessary. And that's one of the criteria in the variance criteria, is that we have a requirement to review things under that under that component. So when we did look at this this application and had also requested that the Department of Ecology's shoreline planner also look at this application, we did find that that the revision and the reduction of that footprint and the house size was adequate to address that. The other components that are involved.
Do you have the specifics on the reduction in terms of like?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Let me go over that real quick. Yeah.
And that happened as a result of the ecology consultation.
Yes. Okay. Correct. Yes. And I think that's really important because obviously we know in a shoreline variance situation that the Department of Ecology then has the requirement to review the application once it comes through our procedure. So in this particular case, we asked them rather early on in the application procedure to review this with us and concurrently. So we do have a memo from them as well that we have in the record as well for your perusal and analysis. Let me just go through this real quick, because this is a memo that I put together here yesterday when I thought, okay, well, we really should spell out the ask specifically here.
And this is, just to clarify, this is the memo that was just added to the record.
Yes,
this morning.
Correct. Okay. Yes. So that's exhibit
33.
Yes, right. Judy Wirtz is seeking a shoreline variance in order to construct a new primary residence with grandfathered accessory dwelling unit on the rural residential zone property within the confines of Puget Sound shoreline, and specifically in Dyes Inlet. The shoreline designation is shoreline residential and requires an 85-foot buffer with an additional 15-foot construction setback. Reduction of the buffer is authorized and described in the analysis under the staff report within 22,400/120 vegetation conservation buffers. And as defined in the criteria under reduced standard buffers and per Title 22,120B2B, which is about reducing buffers, buffers may be reduced down to 50 feet with an analysis of a no net loss report and associated mitigation and shoreline restoration plan. And then we have that in the record as Exhibit 8. And that's created by BGE Environmental. As the house will be set back from the shoreline with a total of a 75-foot buffer and a modified 5-foot construction setback line, the residence meets the proposed reduced buffer standard. The stormwater rain garden facility is planned within the outer portion of the 75-foot buffer area and has been reviewed for the shoreline-related buffer encroachment. The native plant rain garden facility and a sewage treatment grinder pump station will be located outside of the 50-foot reduced standard buffer and therefore meets the 50-foot reduced standard buffer requirement.
And just to clarify, it looks like the structure itself is beyond that. I was looking at one of the site plan and their measurements that range from about, well, it's very, very close to 100 feet.
Yes.
At the nearest point. And it looks like the house itself was designed, I mean, it's to increase the buffer distance. Is that? I mean,
yes.
It kind of looks that way.
There's a proportion of the house in related to perpendicular to the shoreline is how it was designed so that it would not jut into the buffer in any one place. And that's a component of the minimization as well. Further, the reduction of that house area as well conforms with the view line requirement that's also a component of the variance review procedure. So we would not have an application that would be a view encroachment for any adjacent shoreline neighbors. And that meets that as well in this case. I'll continue here a bit further. So again, we have a pertinent structures of small grinder pump that will be located. You can see that just, I believe it's right here, although the blue line covers it. But that grinder pump is located here. And then again, the rain garden is on the outer portion of that 50-foot buffer line here. Yeah. Okay, so now what I wanted to get into next is about the stream and slope buffer, because in the shoreline variance criteria, there is a different review procedure that had been done previously in discussing buffer reductions and things like that within the shoreline. And previous to code, we did have a review procedure where if something was for a residence and was in the shoreline jurisdiction, that it was exempt from shoreline permitting requirements. That is no longer the case. So when we have a shoreline variance for a residence or a proposed residence, it needs to be reviewed if there are buffer impacts through a shoreline variance.
The shoreline procedure variance as opposed to the CAO variance.
Yes, yeah. Correct. Yeah. Right. So that authority for review procedures has changed, and it's principally changed because the Shoreline Management Act changed in December 24th of 2014 of this year. So this is actually, I believe, one of the first. I think this is the first shoreline variance that we've process through through the hearing examiner procedure, right? That's several buffer reductions. All right. So further, an additional shoreline variance review component of the project includes reduction of a required 25-foot top of slope buffer and associated 50-foot stream buffer adjacent to the planned residence. The existing building on site, in parens the planned future ADU, is an existing non-conforming structure and as such is not a buffer impact with the buffer variance criteria. As the portion of the planned new residence and inclusive of a small retaining wall and new driving surface for required parking connectivity is located within the creek and slope buffer, the applicant has also addressed this encroachment within the no net loss report and associated mitigation report and planting plan. The applicant has addressed the slope buffer through incorporation of a geotech analysis, and the geotech has provided a recommended setback, which is met through this variance application. As such, this creek buffer encroachment is seeking a reduced buffer of 25 feet as measured from the ordinary high water line of the creek. And that's measured from average bank full width. That's the Department of Natural Resources required definition where we measure creeks from. And then part of that request is a modified 5-foot construction setback. The buffer will be demarked with a split rail fence, and buffer signs will be installed. We'll require stream buffer signs. The no net loss report associated mitigation plan and the stream shoreline buffer restoration plan incorporates all of the variance criteria as these features are located entirely within the 200-foot shoreline jurisdiction. And I was just providing that for clarification.
Right.
Purposes within the shoreline designation. Further, I've included the variance and administrative variance code sightings from 22500-100 when variances are applied. Obviously, this is a variance. This particular application meets those criteria. The application obviously is a type 3 permit because it's a significant reduction in the buffer. I note that. And then I also describe that the associated no net loss report, mitigation plan, and revegetation plan, and the public interest with those plans together, and the public interest shall suffer no substantial detrimental effect. And that really is verified with the other parties involved in relation to the ask. Again, the Department of Ecology, shoreline planner, who provided their memorandum, had reviewed this document. The State Department of Fish and Wildlife employees who had also visited the site with us, and indeed as well the Suquamish tribe who has a 50% interest in the resource through their normal and accustomed fishing grounds, et cetera. So with that, if there's any specific questions you have at this point, we really have, I think, a situation where, we have a residence that really is very small and isn't really an adequate size for living in, number one.
Just one clarification. Sorry. On the stream type. It's seasonal flow, so it's type NS, right? Although, the buffers and the code, it looks like they're the same.
It's actually a perennial stream. It flows year-round.
Oh, okay.
But it is described as a seasonal creek. As it apparently does not have fish. I will say that in analyzing, and I've gone back and forth with this with our fishery resource folks at the State Fish and Wildlife Department. There is a procedure for upgrading creeks that you would have to go through with the Department of Natural Resources. When I first went to this property a number of years ago, I really felt it had certain qualifications as a potential for fish use. But there is a falls, and if we go up to where the mouth of the actual creek is, you'll see here on the site plan, there's a culvert that's here. Well, there's a drop, if you count the contours, 5, 10, 15, it's about a 15-foot drop, might be more so about 12 feet or so of a drop of this particular creek from underneath the county roadway. And this is a county road right-of-way that's here, this portion where this culvert is located. So that would exclude fish use to really only what we'd have as about 215, 220 feet, somewhere in there, of actual, you know, fish habitat. It really isn't an adequate amount of space for a fish run, if you will. It certainly, though, has the potential. And so whether or not this is a fish-type stream or a non-fish stream, we do have the adequate no-net loss report and this mitigation plan and a very comprehensive planting plan that's in place to adequately address the impacts. I'll also state that the building site itself for the residents is an area that's been cleared for a number of years. You know, really for siting purposes, it's really going to be a very minimal impact in relation to what's existing on the ground now. So that's just a little side note there for that. Let's see here. You'll see in this photo, of course, that, you know, we have some native plants in the foreground. Here's, you know, a Douglas fir tree. We've got, I think that's hazelnut, which is a native ground cover shrub. And, you know, if you look at the aerial, obviously, the aerial shows that the property is really well wooded at this point, you know. There has been a little bit of maple tree trimming that's occurred down here in the past. One of the criteria that we have included in one of the conditions that the Department of Ecology asked for would be to enhance the particular planting plan with some conifers. And so that's, again, one of the conditions of approval.
I may have some follow-up questions, but nothing more at this time.
Great. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Anything further from staff until before we turn to the applicant? Okay. Is the applicant here? Good morning.
Good morning.
Your name for the record.
For the record, my name is Judy Ann Wirtz.
And you swear to tell the truth today?
I do. I'm here trying to, thank you, just add a few pieces of information. I have a support that will describe in addition what I'm planning to do. Anyway, to begin with, I'm the landowner. I have owned this land since December 1970, which is over 46 years. And for the record, because some of the documents that you may see may have a different name on it, in 1970, my name was Judy Ann Feltus. I'm stating this because of those documents, and you probably saw some that said Feltus on it. In 1970, as a very young woman. I thought the original plan after renting near this area on the other side of the hill was to build a house. And I was currently working and my husband was working, but we found through the process of trying to gain a loan that we could not build a house on the front of the property. So we built the small chalet on the back of the land. I wrote to the county asking Planning Commission what we needed to do, if there was certain requirements that related to that creek. And they told me I needed to go to fisheries. I also had to go to ecology, and I also had to go to natural resources. And so letters were written, and I do have copies of those, which is somewhat amazing. They're 40 plus years old. But I basically what we did is we built a small cabin, or and we called it a chalet at that time, over that creek. And we it basically has one bedroom and one bath and a loft, which could be used for sleeping and has been over the years, but right now it's storage. And so, and then the original plan was to build a larger house on the more than one half acre property when we could afford it. And that would have been located on the east end, as I'm trying to do now, and it would have been closer to the shoreline under the whatever the current rules were. Our chalet was built with permits. It was built with approval of ecology, natural resources, fish and wildlife, and the county. And then all I can say is that life happens and things change. And so when I stated I was working, I worked for the federal government, and I followed that career through working in Washington State, California, and Virginia, and in the IT field, and raised a family as a single parent most of that time. So since 2010, I've been pursuing the desire to return after retiring to my land, live on it, and build what I called a minimal house with some certain things that were required. One was a garage. I've somehow over my lifetime been able to afford houses with garages. I also wanted a single level, which is what I've lived in since 1986. And as the plan has evolved, I've tried to conform to whatever's been brought in front of me. We've downsized the house. I've worked with, right now, about 15 contractors. So I have more than one geotech report, more than one habitat report, et cetera, as time has gone on, trying to stay current with the code. Anyway, the last part I want to say is that I was born in this county and had desire to come back here and live. I also own other land that has a creek on it, and I have tried to be a good steward of creeks based on the fact that the land I grew up on North Lake Way has a creek, Dickerson Creek. It is a salmon-bearing creek, so I know the difference between non-fish bearing and salmon-bearing. And in 2015, a major project was done redoing the culvert system on David Road where Dickerson Creek flows. And I currently co-own that land with my sister, which was our parents' land. So I do understand creek stewardship and the ability to protect. And I have pretty much left my land natural. I have native plants. What I have tried to do in the last several years is remove the berry bushes and some of the ivy and the noxious weeds that have grown up over the years. Anyway, I would, unless you have any other questions, like to turn this back over to Mark Kuhlman.
Okay.
Thank you.
My name is Mark Kuhlman.
Are you supposed to tell the truth today?
I do. I'm Mark Kuhlman with Team 4 Engineering. I've been working with Mrs. Wirtz on this project for a couple of years, actually. And we had to do a number of studies because there's a lot of issues involved in the application here. One of the things that we did was an actual physical survey of what the ordinary high water line was on the shoreline. There was no shortcuts taken there, where oftentimes you just say this is the line of vegetation and therefore that's the ordinary high water. This was done with Corps of Engineer gauging stations and calculations of what the tides would be in that area. Also, we did a profile survey of the stream, because early on there was a question as to whether this was a fish stream or a non-fish stream. And Mr. Heacock correctly points out the hydraulic jump that occurs at that culvert. I don't remember if it's quite that high. Those were on that map were 2-foot contours rather than 5. So, but it's still a significant jump. But more importantly, there are other cascades up and down that stream. I don't know if you will do a site visit on that, but you will see 3-foot drops on that stream. So the overall slope of that stream prohibits any fish habitat upstream. After you leave the shoreline, there's just no habitat for fish there. So I think it's correctly identified as a non-fish stream. I do agree that it is likely a perennial stream. I have never been there when it wasn't flowing, and I've been there at several different seasons of the year, so I do believe it's a perennial stream. The exhibit that was, I think it's 33, the site plan that that was added to the record this morning, depicts the current proposed house footprint. And it shows, yeah, that's the one. And it shows the 75-foot buffer with the 5-foot building setback for the shoreline. It shows the 25-foot buffer and 5-foot impervious surface setback for the stream. And it also shows the view line between the houses to the north and the house to the south. So you can see that the house footprint has been snuggled into the available space allowed for that. And as Mr. Heacock points out, that was part of the minimization effort, a true effort to fit within what was allowable.
Just a question on there's another exhibit that details, you know, how far the structure is set back, and it ranges from like 99.57 to 108.75. Are those figures still correct?
I talked to Judy about that, and what Judy had done was measured perpendicular from the structure to the ordinary high water. Usually when we are looking at buffers on critical areas or shorelines, it is an offset, so that the actual physical measurement should be perpendicular to the shoreline rather than perpendicular to the structure. So while the measurements she has are correct, they're probably not the accurate way to depict a buffer width.
Okay.
And so we believe that that exhibit, which I think is 33, accurately shows the 75-foot buffer and the 5-foot impervious setback and the 25-foot buffer as would be measured by the code provisions.
Okay. Although the structure itself is well beyond the 75-foot.
The structure is about 10 feet beyond the 75-foot.
Okay.
We added the 5-foot impervious surface setback, and we left that 5 foot of potential, I'm going to call it slop, because there's always vagaries about, is there a little jog here, is there a little jog there? And so we felt like it was appropriate with the scrutiny that had been given to this application in the past. We felt it was appropriate to be on the safe side of this. I think Mr. Heacock did a good description of the alternative standard 50-foot buffer,
right?
Which could definitely apply here, but we didn't feel we needed to ask for it. It wasn't in, you know, what Ms. Wirt's goals are, allowed us to keep a 75-foot buffer, put that rain garden in the outer portion of it, put that grinder pump station in the outer portion of it, so that we are actually, I think, going beyond the minimum requirements of the code.
Yeah, I had wondered about that, because it looked like it was consistent with that other
right.
provision.
Right. So, as Ms. Wirtz pointed out, to still have documents from 46 years ago with the original construction of the house kind of let you know a little bit about the amazing personality that Judy Wirtz is. I've always been amazed in working with her, the documents that she's retained. Maybe that was part of her innate being, but I'm sure working for the federal government for all those years has amplified her recognition of how important history is. And so the one thing that I wanted to add from what Steve said, Mr. Heacock, he said it's an existing nonconforming structure. And I would add that it's an existing legal nonconforming structure, because she went through every single step and beyond anything I've ever seen a private citizen do to build a house back in 1972. So I think we've got an exemplary applicant here. We've got a record that shows a lot of effort to comply with code and stewardship. The other thing I want to say is we agree with the conditions of approval and the staff report as written. The one area that appeared to be perhaps contentious was the addition of the Doug fir trees to the habitat management plan. And the original report by BGE did include some Doug fir trees along the north line and the south line. Ms. Wirtz asked if that could be deleted because of her concerns for views for the neighbors to the north and the neighbors to the south. And so the habitat management plan deleted the fir trees but supplemented with more shrubs. Okay. So when the Department of Ecology visited the site with the county, they expressed a desire to have those Doug fir trees come back into the planting plan. And even though Ms. Wirtz's concern was for the neighbors, she has to balance that with the stewardship, and she has to balance that with the requests of the permitting agencies. And so we are fine with re-adding those Doug fir larger woody trees back. And if it matters, we have the original document showing where those trees were, the way it's written in the staff report, that the staff will receive a landscaping plan with the site development activity permit that will show those trees so we can reintroduce them at that time. But if you feel it's important for the record, we can submit that original planting plan that shows those Doug fir trees.
You might as well add it to the record since you have it, so it's clear on that. Yeah, those trees do tend to grow quite tall over time.
They do.
Yeah.
And, you know, the County Shoreline Master Plan pays attention to views. They have the view blockage line that is a part of their code. So
just 1 second. This is Exhibit 35. So.
Okay, very good. And that's one of the things that's been interesting for me. I've been doing this business in Kitsap County for over 30 years. And in those 30 years ago, views were things to be enhanced. And now, 30 years later, the enhancement of views is still real and relative, but views have taken a second back seat to some of the environmental issues that may be associated with the larger woody plants. And so here's where the conflict comes in. But Judy is prepared to accept what the Department of Ecology has requested. So those trees can come back. There's no problem with that. Typically, it's our duty as the applicant to prove that we have complied with all the codes and ordinances. I think that staff has done a good job in their presentation. I could amplify on that if we feel it's important, but I might turn it over to you to any questions that you might see at this time.
I may at the end of the proceeding, but probably I'll first hear from public comment and then, but nothing right now.
Okay. And I will want to, as is my normal, I will want to respond to what the public says.
Of
so
course,
I will
yeah.
want to come back. Thank you.
Okay. Yep. Thank you. Okay. Now I'm going to open this up for public testimony. I have a sign-in sheet that has, think, two people on it in addition to Ms. Wirtz. And then, of course, if anyone else here who has not signed up wishes to comment, they may do so. And I'll just start in order. Ted Smith, am I reading that correctly on here? Oh, okay. Did you want to offer testimony today? Oh, okay. Why don't you step forward? Just your name for the record.
Ted Smith.
And you swear to tell the truth today.
I do. So we are the neighbors to the north of Judy Wirtz, my family, and have owned that property for many years, back in the 60s. Our concerns revolve entirely around the preservation of the integrity, the ecological integrity of the creek and its boundaries. We fully support Mrs. Wirtz's endeavor to build a house, and we've been at this with her for a couple years now. But we are not opposed in any way to the construction of a new residence for Ms. Wirtz. We are simply concerned about the integrity and ecological maintenance of the stream. Unfortunately, although we were asked to be listed as interested parties in this years ago, we have never seen any of the documentation that surrounds this application. This is the first time I've ever seen a staff report. We've never seen any of the additional exhibits with the exception of my own. So that's 30 exhibits we've not seen. We've never seen a large representative inclusive site plan. And these things we think are important in order for us to make some sort of intelligent comment about what our position is vis-a-vis the stream and the construction of property or the maintenance of property, such as the existing house. We have not seen any of the variances or the applications for those variances. And so, in short, we'd simply like to be brought up to date on what the existing project file contains. We are in no way attempting to delay this hearing or the adjudication of issues in the hearing, but we certainly feel that we are, as neighbors, we are entitled to take a look at the complete file to see just where we have come and so on and so forth. I'll give you one example that is something that Steve is very familiar with, as I've talked to him many times about this, and that is the in front of the existing house and slightly to its north where the stream runs, the banks of the stream are very, very steep. They were estimated a couple years ago at 30% to 70%, which requires additional setbacks and so on and so forth in terms of what you can do. If you measure between the where the setback line is at the top of the slope and measure between there and the existing garage structure of the neighbor on the south, it has always been curious to me how any kind of construction equipment or parking availability was made for this area. In other words, if there's large construction vehicles that will be required to deliver materials and so on and so forth, resources to the construction of the property, the single-family residence that Mrs. Wirtz is talking about, it's very difficult for me to see. I've visited, I'm sure, 50 times. It's very difficult for me to see how those kind of resources get delivered to the place where the construction of the house will occur without interfering with the current integrity of that slope and subsequent creek invasion. So these are, this is just one example of something that we would like to have cleared up and addressed. A site visit, if someone makes a site visit, which most of these folks have here, would show you just why that's a tenuous issue for us. So in closing, I would simply like to say that we would prefer to have access to the project file, the exhibits, site plan, and so on, so that we can make a determination in the most expeditious way, which is just days. My son, who is my legal representation, is in Hong Kong, and so it has to go back and forth to Hong Kong in order for us to get some sort of intelligent comment on this, rather than his father stumbling through this kind of thing. So anyway, that's where we're at. And I do want to mention to Mrs. Works once again that we fully support the building of your new house. We will do anything we can to help you along with that. And these issues regarding the conversion of the ADU and the plan and so on and so forth are simply, that is the area in which we are addressing our concerns.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Okay. Thank you
very much.
And I think I've got another name on here, Wally Carlson. Did you wish to testify today? Okay. Your name for the record?
Wally Carlson.
And you swear to tell the truth?
I do. So my name's Wally Carlson. I've been contractor in Kitsap County about 50 years. I just want to address the access issue that was kind of tight to get into the property. And I've been out there numerous times. And it's tight, but the heavy equipment can get through there. And with the mini excavators and stuff, it's pretty easy to access that. And I've built a number of properties over streams where we had to carry stuff over. So, I mean, it'll happen. It really isn't a problem. That's all I got.
Okay. Thank you. I did not have anyone else on the sign-up sheet. Was there anyone else in the audience that had not signed up that wanted to testify today? Okay. Let the record reflect that there is no further public comment. I think what I'd like to do is take before – I know the applicant would like to respond to some things, but maybe take a five-minute – a little bit longer recess. I think Mr. Smith had said he hadn't seen the site plan, maybe give him an opportunity to take a look at, I don't know if we have another copy of this. If not, we can use the one that I have up here. But I think let's take a 5-minute recess, then the applicant can address the comments that came in.